Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Megan Turnquist and Kara Hart. The Federal Reserve made a move to stabilize the economy with an emergency interest rate cut this morning. The benchmark interest rate was cut by 0.5 percentage point. That action due to the economic slowdown associated with coronavirus. The Fed has not made an emergency cut like this since 2008. Loewen and Associates President Pete Loewen says fundamentals are not driving this grain market at this point.
Really, we went through export inspections yesterday. Since this crash, lots of different tidbits from a news standpoint, some of it negative, some of it positive. I don't think market's reacting at all to news like that. It's all outside influences and fund money that's driving things, and as long as it's driving it higher, I have no complaints at the moment.
And Loewen questions the Federal Reserve's action to lowering that interest rates by 0.5 point.
Mixed opinion on that. You know, we see bits in the word crisis, and all of a sudden we've got them jumping in thinking they can attempt to fix things. Who knows where that'll go.
From our last look at basis levels at the six regional grain elevators in mid-February, spring wheat basis has widened at five of the six elevators. Spring wheat basis ranged from 25 to 71 cents under the May contracts. Corn basis saw less than 5 cent swing, ranging from 45 to 90 cents under the May contract. And soybean basis ranges from 62 to $1.25 under the May contract. Aberdeen Ag Expo kicked off this morning in Aberdeen. Let's go to the Brown County Fairgrounds. Megan Turnquist has this update.
Joining me, General Manager for Dakota Broadcasting, Devin Ryanson. Devin, the show is just getting kicked off here in this noon hour. Opened the doors at 10 a.m. this morning, and people are starting to filter in.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty good so far for the first couple hours of the show. We moved to a new location this year out at the Holland Expo building on the Brown County Fairgrounds. The building's a lot bigger than what we used to have. We were able to get a lot larger equipment in. Have separate seminar areas, the room for everyone to eat, a lot of good improvements at this year's show.
Give me a little bit of logic behind the different topics and seminars that you have lined up, really tailored to that farmer and rancher.
Right, yeah, we're working very heavily with the SDSU Extension Service to line those up, and they came in, they pretty much wanted to put on a full crop clinic over these next couple days and talk about a few different things. So we tried to find something that was going to be for maybe established farmer. There's some topics that are going to be for newer farmers that want to come up. There's going to be some topics on transitioning your farm to the younger generation. And I believe there's even some gardening in the Midwest topics coming up later. So a little bit of something for everyone.
Yes, and a full lineup of trade show vendors as well.
Yeah, you can find everything from implement dealers to seed dealers to you name it. It's probably out here in some capacity.
Too, if people want to come out, grab a lunch, and get some entertainment, they can do that too.
Yeah, we've got great lunch provided by the Shaggin' Pit out here. And actually tomorrow, the John C. Agency is sponsoring a farmer appreciation lunch. So that's actually going to be free for the first 200 people that come out tomorrow. And then over the noon hour, both today and tomorrow, we have the Strasburg superstar Milo Hatzenbuehler entertaining the folks here over at the show.
That show runs until 6 p.m. today. Devin, remind us of the hours for the next couple days as well.
Yeah, we're at 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow, and then 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday, and then we'll reset and go right into a home builder show this weekend. So,
well, again, Devin Reince, General Manager with Dakota Broadcasting, joining me from the Aberdeen Ag Expo. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Megan.
Reporting Agriculture's Business from the Aberdeen Ag Expo, I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network.
According to a Government Accountability Office report, USDA made $6.7 billion in improper spending in 2019. More than $4 billion of that total is for food stamps and $1.5 billion for school nutrition programs. The GAO estimates the Ag Department made $612 million in improper payments through the ARC-PLC programs and $282.5 million in crop insurance indemnities. National Farmers Union delegates are diving into their policy book, making updates and considering six special orders of business today. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart reports.
Basis received lots of attention during this morning's delegate session. South Dakota Farmers Union delegate and Aberdeen farmer Jeff Kipley.
Trying to figure out if we can control that or get that under control as far as what the railroad charges us to, you know, they charge different rates for corn and beans and wheat. It should all be the same. A pound is a pound. You know, a truck gets the same per load, no matter what he's hauling, as far as commodities go. And really, you should get the same on a rail line, too.
Later this afternoon, delegates will consider six special orders of business. Those address climate change, truth in meat labeling, a dairy industry management program, supporting cooperatives, priorities for the 2020 political offices, and adjustments to the farm program and quality factors as an option in crop insurance. Dickinson, North Dakota farmer Lindsay Sickler wants to see quality factors addressed.
In North Dakota this year, we saw a lot of quality issues with grains just because of the weather that we had this year. It was extremely wet all through the year, especially at harvest. So there, pretty much every crop had quality issues. And the way crop insurance is now, there's very tight regulations on, indemnities for quality losses. So we're just trying to, help strengthen that argument that we need better quality loss provisions in our crop insurance policies.
Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Werdish.
Ethanol, we talked briefly about ethanol, and we'll be doing that again, the support of biofuels, not just ethanol, but support of biofuels at a national level. We're always going to get into a lot of different discussions about various types of policy and different, whether it's dairy or grains or whatever it is, but bottom line, it all comes down to you need a fair price on the farm.
Coverage of the National Farmers Union Convention is presented by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, North Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farmers Union, and Minnesota Farmers Union. Reporting agriculture's business from Savannah, Georgia, at the National Farmers Union Convention, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota farmers who want to grow or process hemp this year must apply for a license through the state ag department by the end of March. Last year, 550 people had licenses. Assistant Agriculture Commissioner Whitney Place says there is potential to further develop the hemp industry in Minnesota. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota House Agriculture Committee heard a bill today that would increase the state's ethanol standard from 10% blend to a 15% blend. Minnesota Farmers Union Government Relations Director Stu Laurie spoke in favor of the bill, saying farmers need certainty right now.
And using those products and improving the markets right here in Minnesota is one important way to do that. And second, members really see biofuels as one of the key ways that they can make an impact on climate change and those lowering the carbon intensity of our transportation sector. The way that increasing our blend rates would do is one way that they can have an impact and be part of that conversation.
Minnesota Petroleum Council Executive Director Aaron Roth said his members support ethanol but are opposed to the mandate.
We believe, based upon already in the marketplace, there are some 330 retail locations already selling E15. But many of those market it as 88 octane. So the confusion at the pumps is people don't know that they're buying E15, even though there's a small label on the pump. So we think, E15, if it's going to move forward, should be market-based and not mandated.
South Dakota State University Extension is hosting a series of educational seminars during the Aberdeen Ag Expo. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Megan Turnquist has more from the Brown County Fairgrounds.
Reporting Agriculture's Business from the Aberdeen Ag Expo here in Aberdeen at the Brown County Fairgrounds, I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network, joined by Heather Gessner. She's an SDSU Extension Livestock Business Management Field Specialist. And Heather, today we're talking about transition planning. And so what's the first thing that we need to know when it comes to that process?
The transition process is a really big component, and it freaks a lot of people out. So the first thing I really want people to do is think about what they want to have happen. If you can't walk in and tell me what your goals are or tell your attorney what you really want to have happen, they can't make it happen for you. So having that clear path and an understanding of how many kids you have and who gets what kind of assets and that type of situation is your first step. And then the next thing you really need to do is compile any and all legal forms and documents, anywhere from a title to your life insurance policies, retirement policies. Because there's a certain order that things are going to pass if you don't put together a real thorough estate plan.
And so you've worked with many farm and ranch families on this very exact topic. And so what is maybe one of the most difficult parts of the process?
The first part that I find is the biggest part is getting started, taking the bullet and say, yes, I'm going to do it. The second part for a lot of families is the step that says, I'm not going to give my assets 100% equally to each child, and then I have to tell them that that's my plan, that they're not going to get a quarter of the land, value of the land. They're going to get maybe $100,000 out of a life insurance policy because I need the kid on the farm to get these assets, and that's how I'm going to have it happen.
Well, again, Heather Gessner joining me from SDSU Extension. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Reporting Agriculture's Business from Aberdeen, South Dakota at the Aberdeen Ag Expo. I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network.
Farm bureaus from across the country are making safety a priority this week through the Agricultural Safety Awareness Program. A different safety aspect is being highlighted each day. Today's focus being transportation safety. Minnesota Farm Bureau member Pete Bakken of Beaver Creek encourages fellow farmers to be aware of your surroundings.
An example might be you're in a livestock trailer and you think you can get one animal out and there's two in there and you get crushed behind the door. You just maybe weren't thinking far enough ahead. Another example would be, you know, these animals are 5 to 10 times your own weight, and what might seem like a small calf or something could end up being you're crushed between two animals. So be aware of your surroundings and think about what is going on and think ahead.
And Holly, Minnesota farmer Lori Ockery says it's also important to slow down and get over when meeting farm equipment on the road.
If it's two-lane traffic, get over if you can so that they have that little bit of extra room. Farm equipment these days is so much larger than what equipment used to be years ago. So they need some of that extra room, and especially if there's bridges. So if you can just slow down and get over, give them the room so that they can travel safely as well and not go off in the ditch.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Oceania region in the southeast or southwest Pacific around Australia has helped push U.S. pork exports to record levels in 2019. Exports to Australia increased by one-third year over year, and the volume shipped to New Zealand jumped nearly 40%. U.S. Meat Export Federation Director Sabrina Yin says a tight labor market and rising raw material prices make finished U.S. pork products attractive.
For the Australia and New Zealand market, we want to continue to support the small goods processor. We also want to take the advantage on the ready-processed U.S. pork that moving into the market. A lot of all those items are actually available in the retail supermarket in the region.
And Yin says there's a focus on reaching out directly to consumers about U.S. pork products. FMC Technical Services Manager Ryan Hunt says farmers will need to be even more vigilant to reduce their weed banks after last fall.
This last year with not much fall work got done with late harvest and some harvest not getting done, so wasn't much fall spraying to take out some later emerging stuff and poor tillage. So this spring is going to be real important getting multiple modes of action out there, getting a good burn down or a good tillage before you get your crop planted. You know, multiple timings. There's not a one pass, one cure, all anything anymore.
Hunt says weed control in last year's prevent plant acres will be a challenge.
You know, some of these prevent plant acres, with as much seed as out there, even a 96, 97% control is going to not look real good, and there's going to be some stress on those post products. So, you know, we really, really... You're going to see and get what you pay for this year with your pre's and that heavy pressure. They're definitely going to separate out from each other, and you're going to know what's working better and what isn't.
Checking markets before we leave you. Wheat in Minneapolis trading 5.5 higher. Chicago wheat's up 2.5. Kansas City wheat up a penny. Corn's up 6.25 in the May and 3.75 in the December corn. May soybeans down 0.25. November beans are down 0.01 as well. April live cattle down 7 cents. April feeder cattle down $1.30. April hogs are 72 cents higher. On the farm calendar, the Soil Health Cafe talks continue tomorrow in Wishick. It begins at 11:30 a.m. Also, Full Circle Ag's 2020 Ag Tech Integration Summit tomorrow. That is going on at the Britton Event Center, Britton, South Dakota. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day. This is the Red River Farm Network.